Today we have a guest joining us by phone. Barb Fuller is with us here this morning, nutrition and wellness program specialist for Iowa State University Extension and Outreach here for our area. Barb, how are you?
I am well. It's a good day in Southwest Iowa.
You bet. Getting along. And, you know, a lot of people are working remotely now because of circumstances out there. You folks are used to it, right?
A little bit. I do have an office I generally work from, but as you said, lots of people have been working from my kitchen table most of the last few weeks.
Well, we're going to talk kitchen table, I guess, a little bit here today because May is beef month, so we wanted to kind of talk a little bit about some of those issues. As a nutrition and wellness program specialist, you're always looking for the good in the foods that we eat, right?
That's right, and beef is an excellent source of good nutrition. It's a great source of protein. Most people know that. Iron, zinc, some people may not think about that, and sometimes we put them together and we call it ZIP, zinc, iron, and protein, and also B vitamins. Some of those things, of course, you can get from other foods, but beef is particularly high in the protein, the iron, and the zinc, so it's a great powerhouse of nutrition.
You know, when a lot of folks will go out to the grocery stores or wherever they buy their, especially like, say, for example, ground beef, they'll look and there'll be different percentages of leanness on those. Should we pay attention to that?
Yes. So it's now labeled as like 93% lean or 80% lean. So that other 20% or 7% or whatever is fat. If it's ground beef, you can brown it and drain it, but that means you're also losing a certain percentage of what you bought. And you do want to drain it because that's a high saturated fat, which will raise your blood cholesterol. It also adds lots of extra calories. So it may depend on what you're doing with it. If it's a higher fat ground beef, when you drain it, it's a good lean protein source after that. And then you can add it to other things. And some people, you know, that fat does give it some taste. So you do want to have some fat, probably, but it's your choice, anywhere from 70 to 93% lean, what you want to buy and what you're going to use it for.
You bet. Well, there are a lot of different ways to prepare some of those cuts that you enjoy so much, but grilling this time of the year seems to be one of the more popular ones. It's, you know, some people have different views on grilling and whether it's healthy and safe and all these kinds of things. What's your opinion?
I love the taste of grilled meat. Again, if you want to make sure that you're choosing a leaner cut so you don't have that extra fat and that you're handling it properly, of course, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And one thing you probably want to avoid is really just burning it. That char maybe doesn't taste so good, but that's maybe where we get some of the carcinogens. So, you know, making sure. And sometimes it happens, you know, your grill flares up and things burn when you aren't paying attention. But grilling is a great low way to cook lean meat and have it taste good.
You bet. And not heat up the house when it gets warm outside, too. That's kind of a nice side benefit. And, of course, there are different
and
types.
And it always smells good.
Oh, gosh, yeah, it does. And there are different types of grills out there, too. Of course, some folks prefer, they swear by the charcoal grill. Other people use the propane-fired gas grills. And in some cases, there are ones that, you know, where the flame is licking the meat. Others have a cover over it, so it's like rolling heat inside. No matter how you do it, it's just a matter of coming up with some of your favorite recipes and ideas and just having fun with it.
That's right. And there are, like you said, lots of opinions on how it should be done, and whatever works for you, whatever you're comfortable doing, whatever you like, is just fine. There are advantages and probably disadvantages to everything. So what works for you is what works for you.
All right. Well, a lot of us will be planning. One of the things about grilling is a lot of us will be planning eventually when we can get together, parties and things, opportunities to get together with folks, because that's kind of what grilling is largely all about, is getting folks together. So when we can do that safely here again, and folks are going to be choosing different cuts of meat, let's start from the basics, from the time that they're in the store looking to pick up those types of items. We want to do all these things safely. What should we look for?
So in the store, you want to prevent that cross-contamination, which can happen as soon as you pick up that package of meat. So if you can, maybe, you know, separate that in your cart. some places actually have like the bags you might find in the produce department that you would slip your meat into when you buy it. And that would be great. I don't see that a lot, but maybe you could remember in the produce section to grab a couple of extra bags. If that meat juice drips onto uncooked food, especially like lettuce that you're not going to cook or salad ingredients or raw fruit, then of course that could spread that bacteria that could potentially be in the meat. You can't tell by looking at it if it's got salmonella or E. coli. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can't see it. So you always want to pay a little bit of pay attention and not cross-contaminate. And then make sure that you have things in a cooler or an insulated bag, especially if it's going to be really hot outside, 90 degrees or more, and you want to get home as quickly as possible. Maybe take a couple of ice packs, but at least those insulated bags to help keep your cold things cold a little bit better.
Okay, so make sure we do that in a safe manner and go straight home. If you're going to stop a few places, make the grocery store the last stop before you head home.
That's right.
Okay. Now, once we get home and we get to opportunity, maybe kind of start preparing some of those items. So what things should we look for?
Well, if it's been in the freezer, you want to thaw it safely. So if you're just going home and you're going to cook it in a day or two, stick it in the refrigerator. Make sure your refrigerator is cold, 40 degrees or less. If it's been frozen, take some time to thaw it in the refrigerator. It could take a couple of days. You could use cold running water or even partially thaw in the microwave as long as you continue cooking. So thawed meat cooks a lot better on the grill. Not that you can't put frozen meat out there, but again, it may burn on the outside before it really gets thawed out in the middle. It may take it quite a while. So making sure that it's thawed and thawed safely.
I suppose there are some folks out there who like it frozen in the middle, but most of us don't.
No, I don't think so.
No, not really. You know, the preparation is really a key, too. And we talk about this at different holidays and things when people are preparing so many different types of foods in one location is to make sure that everything is clean and separated.
That's right. And if you're transporting it around, so you're going to a picnic or a barbecue, if you can try and cook the meat, so you're doing burgers or something there, that would be great. Again, you don't want to cross-contaminate in your cooler, so trying to keep the meat in one place, especially if it's thawed out, so it's going to drip on things, then maybe your potato salad or double eggs or things that you aren't. So, and again, keep it cold. Put some ice packs in there or some ice to make sure that it stays cold while you're transporting it to another location. And again, if it's something hot, you have to think about how you're going to keep it hot. If it's a short distance, that's probably okay. Maybe you can think about a slow cooker, but again, you want to try and get there probably within an hour and not have something sitting too long at room temperature. That's really where we can invite, again, bacteria to make us sick.
Okay. Well, you talked about cross-contamination between different food items, meat and the other things that you might have, but you can also get some of that contamination going back and forth with some of the utensils that we use.
That's right. So if you're taking steaks or burgers or something out to the grill on a plate and put them on the grill, then you want to get a clean plate and your tongs or your spatula or whatever you're using to turn the meat and not use what touched the raw meat to anything that's cooked or cooking. But especially when it's done cooking, take it off and put it on something clean and not have any of those raw meat juices still on the plate or the tray.
And the tongs themselves, we should bring them back in, maybe clean them before we go out to turn the meat or just use a different one?
Just use a different one is a good idea. And I know it's still raw when you're cooking it, so how many times should you change it? That's your something to figure out. And every time I cook on the grill, I think about that too. When should I get the clean ones out? When it's all the way done? When I'm turning it and it's partway done? It's kind of a hard time to decide, but definitely when it's done cooking, you want to have something, clean utensils to move it off onto your clean plate.
You bet. And of course, we should never overlook the whole washing your hands thing too.
That's right. And I think lately people are probably lots better at washing their hands, keeping everything clean. So soap and water is just wonderful for cleaning your counters, your sink, washing your hands, soap and water.
Okay. Well, when we actually cook the steaks, of course, when we go to a restaurant, they ask us how we want it done. And when we have barbecues over in the backyard, everybody has their opinion how they want their steak or their cut to be prepared. So are there certain guidelines we should follow to make sure we're preparing safely?
That's right. So ground meat, like a burger, should be 160 degrees in the middle. And USDA has done lots of studies through the years, but color isn't always a great indicator. When they checked color, this looks brown, it's done, one in four hamburgers is not to a safe temperature, even though it looks brown all the way through. So you need an instant meat thermometer. There's digital ones. There's all kinds you can use. They aren't very expensive. A steak, if you want medium rare, it's about 145 degrees, and that's a safe temperature. 160 is about medium. Well done goes a little higher, but 145 is really safe. And interesting, when you said restaurants, sometimes they ask me how I want my hamburger, and I tell them 160 degrees. I get odd looks in the restaurant. That instead of saying well or medium well, I give them a temperature. I'm not sure that always works, but I know what I want to cook to.
Well, you give them guidelines to follow. Very good.
Yep, bye.
All right. Well, and of course, after things are cooked, then we want to make sure we keep the cold and the hot separated as well.
That's right. So again, putting those leftovers away, just like the big Thanksgiving dinner, you want to think about 2 hours at room temperature from the time you start serving the food. If it's hot, over 90 degrees, again, you're outside. Make sure that things get in a cooler or back in the refrigerator within an hour. The longer it sits, the more the bacteria. So you've cooked it thoroughly, maybe, hopefully. You know, bacteria are pretty sneaky. They can survive lots of things, and we just want to make sure that everything is safe. And when we get back to grilling and enjoying some picnics and family together, we aren't making people sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barb, you've gone and done it. Now I'm hungry.
Yep. Time for to enjoy some beef for me. May is beef month.
Absolutely. Enjoy some beef and all those fun stuff, all those fun products here this time of the year. Well, Barb, thank you so much for your time. That's Barb Fuller with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Hey, enjoy.
And everybody can enjoy their beef.